It is good to be here this morning. So, as you know, my name is Simo. My full name is Simpson Charlton, but I only get called that if I'm being naughty. So, it's so good to be here. I pray that you've all had a good summer and enjoying the sunshine. So far, we've just had the privilege to come back from being in Marbella, Spain, and it was lovely. It was hot, but I'm glad to be back. I feel relaxed. Summer can feel a little different, as you can see here this morning. Also, Johnny's away. He's on his way back at present. So, but he will be back for the camp out, so you'll see him there. But we are a little bit late. But summer's always like, August is always like that. But I still get the privilege and the honour this morning in speaking to you. As Simon has said, welcome to you if you are first-time guests or second-time guests, or if you've been here for a long while, welcome to you this morning. It is good to see you. It is good to have you. We are continuing in the last of the Summer of the Psalm series. And I'm really looking forward to sharing my heart with you as I believe God will speak to us this morning. I believe what I will share with you this morning is for Mosaic Church Bognor as we start this new adventure in going forward in what I believe God has called us to. This morning we're going to be looking at Psalms 133. And before I read it, I want to give you some background into this particular Psalms, as it will give us better understanding as we go forward. This particular Psalms is known as Psalms of Ascent, or Songs of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent are a special group of Psalms in the Bible, specifically from Psalms 120 to 134. Just give you a little bit of background. The name comes from the Hebrew. Now, if there's any Hebrew scholars or Greek scholars in here, I'm sorry if I don't pronounce this word right. Right? The name comes from the Hebrew word malalo, which means steps or going up. The Psalms were traditionally sung by Jewish pilgrims as they ascended to Jerusalem, which sits on a high hill during major feasts. So they would go travel to Jerusalem for major feasts like the Passover or Pentecost or different tabernacles. The key points about the Psalms are, in a sense, they were pilgrimage songs. So they were cited or sung by travelers going up to Jerusalem. They would sing or recite these songs on their journey. They were also used as themes. So themes like trusting in God, hope for peace, gratitude, unity, and joy in worship. There was a liturgical meaning to them. These psalms later became part of the synagogue and church traditions as prayers of approach to God. There was a spiritual meaning that symbolized the believer's spiritual journey, moving upwards towards God in faith, prayer, and holiness. For example, give you an example of this. Psalms 121 begins, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from?" And it's reflecting on the pilgrim journey towards Jerusalem and the reliance on God. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of the heavens and earth. It's reflecting on their journey and their reliance on God. So that being said, we are going to look into Psalms 133. Now let's see if I get this right. Yep, Psalms 133. If you've got Bibles, you can turn and look into it, or phones. And it says this, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. The title of my talk is A Unified Church. The theme of the Psalms, in a word, is unity. We just need to read verse 1 to see that as it talks about God's people, God's church, the people dwelling together, loving each other in unity and oneness. Unity is so important in the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says this, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Know that the spirit of unity comes from God. His Spirit brings unity and allows us to operate peacefully in harmony amongst the church. And not just inside the church, but outside of the church walls. I've witnessed too many people and too many Christians who get outside of the church walls and act in a way that the world would expect them to act in. They act in a way that doesn't reflect who they should be in Christ Jesus. I've worked with some known Christians that I've had to question and say, look, we are disciples of Christ. We shouldn't be acting as the world would act. We shouldn't be going out and using profanity as the world would act. We need to be disciples of Christ. God gives us unity, but we must keep what he has given to us. We must keep it. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. This is not something that will come easy, but it will take effort to keep unity within the church and outside of the church. It's on us to make sure that happens, and the Spirit enables us to do it. So why does God command us to keep the Spirit among the saints? It implies that unity, as I said, does not come naturally. It does not come comfortably. We have to work hard at it because there are a lot of differences amongst us. You just need to look around the room. There's a lot of differences amongst us. But the differences add to the richness of the body of Christ. There is a richness in diversity to the body of Christ. There's a richness in that. We have to make sure we maintain harmony and unity. Know this. Satan loves to bring division to the body of Christ. And he will exploit our differences to his advantage wherever and whenever possible. Satan seeks to kill and destroy. He seeks to kill and destroy. He comes to seek. He doesn't like what you're doing for Christ. And one of the ways that he can do that is by bringing disharmony among the saints in the church. Satan will do what he can to bring about division and discord. He will exploit our differences to his advantage whenever possible. It could be differences on gender lines, racial lines, educational lines, denominational lines. Satan will do whatever it takes to bring division in the body of Christ. I want to share a little testimony. So, when I first came down here, I've been in Sussex for about 30 years. Yeah, 30 plus years now. Travelled down from Liverpool. Moved to Oxford. Didn't like Oxford. Moved down here. And I met my wife. Had kids. And so when I first moved to Sussex, I met some great people. I got involved in a church which is part of our organization, part of New Frontiers organization, and it was in Calfold, so towards Brighton Way. But and I made some really good friends. And one of my friends, his dad, was a plumber. And I used to live with his dad's best friend, one of his best friends. But one of the problems were that his dad used to greet me in a way that would racially abuse me, right? So he would say things like, "Oh, woggy," or "nig nog," and it crippled my spirit. I didn't feel, because I was young at the time, I didn't feel I could do anything about it. And every time I would see him, he would use that language towards me. It got to the stage where I just disliked being a nice word that I can use, disliked this man. And I would do anything to just not see him. And he's a Christian, he's in the church. So I thought to myself, yeah, I'm never going to speak to you again. Obviously, I was in really good friends with his son, and his son he was one of the main drummers for the worship band that I was in. So I just then refused to ever go to his house or ever sort of like try to stay out. But every time he used to see me, on occasions that we would bump into, he'd use the same. But it was just this crippling effect that I just couldn't say anything. And so when we moved down here, I never had to see him again. But all the time that racial things came up, my mind would just cast back to him. Every single time, my mind would just switch to this guy, and even if he wasn't involved, right? Because that's how I felt. So I then, 15 years go by, right? And last year, remember, I said he was a plumber. He ran a plumbing firm, a successful plumbing firm, right? Last year, we do some work for this Christian building firm, because I'm a decorator. I've run my own decorating business. So we do some work for a Christian builder. I walk into the office. His daughter, this guy's daughter, is the administrator. So she's administrator. And I put two and two together thinking, if you're the administrator, I know that your dad's going to get work from this firm, right? So I just let it go. I really got on well with the kids. I really got on well with the kids, and the daughter never caused me any problems, and I still was friends with her son, but I hadn't seen this guy for 15 years. So we're on a job, and I'm checking on the guys, and we're on this job for about 4-5 months, and I'm checking on the guys, and I see him turn up. Now, he's not on the tools no more. He just runs the firm, so he just comes in to check on his boys. So I see him turn up, and I see it, and just rage fills my heart. Sure. So I then go into another room, right? He then comes into this room. He doesn't know I'm there, by the way. He doesn't know. And he comes into the room, and he sees me, and then he goes, hi. And all he can say is what he used to call me. So he then goes, "Nig nog." And I feel this rage coming from my bottom. And I'm just about to say something, like, and my painters could see that I was, like, taken back and it was going to go off. And he goes to me, have you heard? And I'm, like, stunned like this. He goes, "I've got terminal cancer, and I've been given 18 months to live. And I don't know what to say." And I then go, "Oh, I'll pray for you," and then walk out. I get in my van, and I'm, like, sitting there. And I'm not thinking of his terminal cancer. Obviously, I don't want this guy to pass away. But all I'm thinking about is the rage that's inside of me because he just abused me. And so I start arguing with God, like you do. I start saying to God, "God, I don't know what to do. This guy is, I don't know what to do." And I'm driving, and I'm angry. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want this guy to die. But at the same time, I don't even want to pray for him. And I feel God say to me, "It's forgiveness. It's forgiveness." And I'm like, okay, God, I need to go. No. You have to ask him for forgiveness, for his forgiveness. So I'm like, what? I have to ask him to forgive me. I said, you've got it wrong, Lord. I'm the one that's been abused. I've not done nothing to him. So come again. And he said this, the Holy Spirit say, for 15 years, you've held offense in your heart. How can you ever pray for somebody or speak to people holding the kind of offense in your heart that you've held for this man and he doesn't know about it? Oh, mate. It was like I've been hit by a brick. Because I'm like, yo, I can't do this, Lord. I cannot do this. And I then phone up a friend and tell him, and he goes, look, the best thing I can say to you is, you need to phone this bloke up now. Because the longer you leave it, you just won't do it to meet up with him. So I then get on the phone and I said, hi, because I still had his number. I said, hi, so-and-so. Is it possible we can meet up? And he thinks I'm going to come meet up to pray. And he goes, yeah, meet up. Like, got time in 2 weeks' time. And I'm like, yeah, bye. 2 weeks was the longest 2 weeks because I just did not want to do it. I just did not want to go. Come to the day, I think it's saying something. I come to the day, get in the van. And I'm wanting him to somehow. I'm trying to think of ways that I can cancel or get out of it. You know, so I drive to, because he doesn't live near here, lives Horsham way. So I drive to Horsham and his yard, and I get out of the van, and then I get back in the van. I get out the van again, and then I get into the van and start the engine, and I'm thinking, God, I cannot do this. I said, you're going to have to give me the strength because I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, you know. And I end up sitting there in the van on his yard for about 10 minutes. And then I get out the van and I stand and I said, Lord, give me the strength. I go into the office where he is and he greets me. And then I see his daughter. So his daughter's in the office. And then I'm thinking, my mind's racing. How am I going to confront a man who's dying of cancer? How is that going to look to his daughter? You know, these are thoughts that are going through my head. So I then go, we then chat, and he tells me about how he got cancer and what the doctors said, and then I'm just sitting there, and he goes, do you want to go for a walk? And I went, yes, please. So we get outside the office, and we're walking, and I'm like, I say to him, look, I want to say something to you. I said, I need to ask for your forgiveness. I said, for years, I've held a fence and almost like just high dislike. I wouldn't go as far as hatred, but it was close in my heart for you. Because, and I tell him what's happened. He then breaks down and starts crying. And he says, I knew that day that I came into the workplace, I knew that I'd hurt you. And I came out to try and find you. And you'd gone, and I knew, and for you to phone me up was just like, and we talked, and he said, you don't have to ask for my forgiveness. I need to ask for yours. I said, I said, look, I forgive you. And he said, look, I forgive you. And we embraced, and he cried and that. And then the next day, he texts me, and he texts me this message. And he says, hi, Simo. Thanks for coming to see me and praying for me. So much appreciated. For my part, I'm so sorry for causing you offense over the years. And thank Jesus that you have been so faithful to come and speak with me about it. I'm 69. I am still learning about life. And how important our words are. And now wisely we should choose them. Your testimony is a great encouragement to me too. Love you, my brother. And we are both free to stand before our Lord, knowing that the accuser cannot hold this against us. We as a church need to know we are less capable of advancing the church if we are divided than if we are united. And Satan knows that. We must be united as a body of believers. Luke 17. Is that right? Luke 17. Jesus says this in Luke 17. A house divided against itself will fall. It cannot stand. We as believers will fall if we are not united as a church. The Bible also makes it clear in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I want you to know this, that there's different makeups in this room. Take a look around. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Whether you are English, Jamaican, African, Filipino, Scottish, Russian, Ukrainian, we are all one in Christ Jesus. And you are welcome. You are welcome in this place. You are welcome in Mosaic Church Bognor. You're a part of our family. And we love you. And we want to continue to be unified together. We are all one in Christ Jesus. No matter what background you come from, what area you were born in, what you look like, we are one in Christ. Saying that, more and more now there's ecumenical movements today that want to organize everybody to come under one banner, this one banner of love. And we as a church just won't agree with standing with organizations that are unbiblical in their stance and views that are important to us. We will stand on the word of God. We will stand on truth. Charles H. Spurgeon says it best. He says this, it's better to be divided by the truth than united in error. We need to constantly stand for truth. But more to the point of what I'm talking about is the fact that we won't always, as Christians, agree with each other. I need to be real. We won't always agree. We won't always see eye to eye. But we need to put aside our petty differences, our racial prejudices, our selfish preferences, and we need to do it all for the sake of unity in the church and for the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? David compares the unity in this passage to two things. He uses the imagery of precious oil poured on the head running down Aaron's beard and flowing down his collar of his robes, symbolizing the richness and the abundance that comes from unity. The second thing he mentions is the dew of Mount Hermon, which represents the refreshing and life-given nature of unity. So let me just break that down. The precious oil in Psalms 133, verse 2, refers to the anointing oil used in ancient Israelite ceremonies to consecrate priests and kings. The oil was symbolized. The oil symbolized divine favor, blessing, and empowerment. When the psalm says oil runs down Aaron's beard, it's depicting the overflowing abundance of God's blessing and favor that comes from unity. Picture someone drenched. It's not just a little dab here or there. It's saturation. Simon used to run. He probably still does. He walks now. As he gets older, you know, you go from a walk, run to a jog to a walk. Simon's at the jog-walk phase. Yeah. But when he used to run, especially on a hot day, I mean, there's times that I used to see him, and he would be dripping. On a hot day, you picture it, if you're in the gym or if you're doing a workout, you're dripping from head, you know, and you're saturated, your half of your body's saturated with sweat. Now, you've got to picture that. No, don't. I'm just trying to give you an example of being saturated. You know, in ancient Israel culture, the beard was considered a symbol of dignity, honor, and strength. So the image of the oil flowing down the beard emphasizes the richness and dignity of unity. It saturates. I want that picture, not the picture of Simon, right? The picture of Mosaic Church Bognor, that I want that picture of us, that we overflow from the Spirit of God and unity that God has blessed us with. And that we would be a dignified church that would honor people and that we would grow in strength. We need to be a church that people say, yeah, they are diverse people, but they have unity in their diversity. People should be able to look at us and say, these are people from different cultures, different backgrounds, some different races, some different ages, some different denominations, dark hair, white hair, no hair. But it's all good. It's all good. We all worship the same Lord. Let unity saturate us. Romans 12, 18 says this. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, as far as it lives, it, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, regarding the Mount Hermon, it's a significant mountain range in Israel, known for its abundant dew. Dew in the ancient Near East was a vital source of moisture, especially in the dry regions. The psalmist uses the dew of Mount Hermon as a metaphor for the refreshing and life-giving nature of unity. Just as the dew brings life and fertility to land, unity amongst God's people brings spiritual life, vitality, and fruitfulness. The comparison to Mount Hermon's dew highlights the idea that unity is not just a nice feeling, but a source of spiritual vitality and blessing that has profound impact on those involved. The vivid images in Psalms 133 paint a picture of unity as a source of divine blessing, favor, and life-giving power. There's something else that I just want to point out. David referenced to the dew on Mount Hermon that fell on Mount Zion. Mount Hermon is the highest mountain in northern Israel, standing at 10,000 feet. Mount Zion in Jerusalem is approximately 2,600 feet. And they are 200 miles apart. So the distance, they are 200 miles apart. David says, unity amongst God's people is like the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion, meaning it's far-reaching. It's not just for us in our local area or in our church. John 17, 23 says this, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Unity is not something that we need to teach. just for the sake of Mosaic Church Bognor. Even though it's important, unity is something that we need to keep for the sake of gospel advancement around the world. The gospel advancing around the world. Because the gospel needs to be advanced by people who are unified around the central person of Jesus Christ. We need to testify of Jesus. And if we are bickering, and if we are fighting and backstabbing and backbiting, all of these kinds of things, how in the world can we testify of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior? We need to get rid of the fighting. We need to rid ourselves of bickering. We need to wring ourselves out of the backstabbing. All of these things that are contrary to the Word of God. We need to rid ourselves of that. Unity is important because it's far-reaching. It impacts the gospel around the world. Jesus says in John 13, verse 35, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." We as a church, we as Mosaic Church Bognor, want to be a church that love one another, that care for one another, that considers each and everyone's needs, that will pray with one another, that will cry together, share fellowship, have food. We have lots of times where we have food together, and we've got more of that coming up. We want to baptize people as a family. We want to marry people. You know, we want to do this as a body, standing together in unity. Why? Because he commands us to love everyone. So we make every effort to drive unity and to make unity our thing as the Spirit leads us. Yes, at times it won't be easy. At times we will have squabbles or fallout, but make sure you keep short accounts with God. Make sure we are putting things right. Make sure we're saying we want to be disciples of Christ Jesus. So that means living in unity and in oneness together. As I close, may our unity not just be local, but have global impact, because people can see Jesus Christ in us. What do I want us to do now as we respond? I want us to stand, and I want us to read Psalms 133 together. I'm going to get it back up on this screen. If you've got a Bible, then use your Bibles. If not, then you can... Linda, can you just get this back on the screen? Because, yeah, that's it. Thanks. So we're just going to read this together. And then I'm going to pray. And then if there's anyone that feels like they need prayer, I'll be at the front or over here in the corner. You can come and grab me. Unity is important in the body. You might need to make it right with family members, with whoever. You might need to... There might be something that is niggling you and you just want prayer about it. Jesus might have touched your heart and you might be saying, I want this unity that he speaks about. I want the Spirit of God that Simo's spoken about. I'm happy to pray with you. I'm happy to... There's some guys here, Simon and Helen back, and some guys. We'll pray with you at the corner over here. God is moving, God is speaking. So let's just read Psalms 133 together, and I'll pray to finish. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Father God, we thank you that you are worthy of the praise. Thank you now, Lord Jesus, for all that you are, all that you have done in our lives. Father God, I thank you now, Lord Jesus, for the Spirit that you place within us, and that we can so talk about unity in the body of Christ. Father God, we want it to saturate us. We want Mosaic Church Bognor to be saturated with your love, with your grace, oh God, with unity, so that when people see us, when people come in for the first time, they see this unity in the body. They see the diversity amongst us, and they see the love that comes from you. And I pray now, Lord Jesus, if there's anything in our hearts, now, Lord Jesus, that we need to get right, that we would bring it to the cross, that we would bring it before you, that we would trust you. Father God, we thank you now, Lord Jesus, for all that you are doing. Thank you now, Lord Jesus, for being in your presence. In your presence, this fullness of joy, and at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Thank you for using me to bring this message. Thank you now, Lord Jesus, for what you have taken me through. Lord, I ain't got this all right. Now, Lord Jesus, but I want to be used as a vessel for you and for your kingdom. So we say, have your way. Oh God, saturate us. Saturate us, Lord, by your Spirit. Thank you once again. Continue to touch hearts. Continue to move in us as we say thanks. Your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask worship.